Welcome to the Law in Context podcast.
I'm Emeritus Professor Stephen Bottomley, former Dean of Law at the Australian National University in Canberra.
And I'm Emeritus Professor Stephen Parker, former Dean of Law at Monash University in Melbourne.
Between us, we have written books and articles on corporations law, lawyers' ethics, family law, and many other legal topics.
In most episodes, we take a legal topic of interest, perhaps one that's in the news, and relate it back to fundamental questions about the legal system.
So whether you are a member of the public wanting to know more about law and make sense of what is in the news, or you are studying legal studies, criminology, or even a law degree, our plan is to help you with a deeper understanding of what is going on.
The first episode of our Law in Context series is about the rule of law. It's one of the fundamental ideas that underpin law in some countries, but not others.
So, Steve-O, if you had to define the rule of law in one sentence, what would you say?
Well, Steve-O, I'd say the rule of law requires governments to govern according to laws which have been laid down in advance.
Really? You wouldn't say that it requires people to obey the law?
Yes, it does require that, but you asked me for one sentence, and I chose governments, so don't get picky.
Fair enough. Well, let's break it down into its elements. First is the word rule.
Yes, this means that it isn't optional. Governments and people can't just break the law when it suits them. Everyone has to follow laws laid down in advance.
Then we get to the prepositions. Second word is the word of.
Yes, it's a clever little word. We aren't talking about rule by laws. A dictator can dress their decisions up and call them laws, but really they're just diktats.
Which leaves us with the word law.
Yes, and this is a conceptual minefield. Whole books have been written on what is law. There are traditions of legal philosophy going back centuries debating the nature of law. But for this very preliminary discussion, I think we can say a few things that aren't too controversial. The first is that for something to be a law, it must be made in a certain way. Lawmakers must follow the procedure laid down in a higher or basic law called the Constitution. Constitutions, as we know only too well in Australia, are very rarely altered, and to alter it, there has to be a referendum, a vote of the people.
We were both born in England, and the United Kingdom doesn't have a written constitution.
That's true, but it is an exception. There are at least other laws there which describe how law should be made, and to depart from these and from the conventions or traditions that have lasted for centuries would be a revolution. Anyway, let's just ignore the Brits for the time being.
Yeah, good plan. So where are we? We know that for it to be a law, it has to be constitutional.
We could also say that the law must be publicly stated. The word often used is promulgated. If it were made in secret, then no one would know to obey it. Most people have heard the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, it would be an excuse if you couldn't possibly have known about it. This is going to come up in future episodes because law is so complex and there's so much of it that in practical terms, most people can't actually know all the laws that govern their actions.
I guess another consequence of this is that you can't bring in a law and make it apply to a time before it was brought in. Otherwise, it would not have been promulgated at a time when people made their decisions.
Yes, that's right. Laws should not normally be retrospective. There are some situations where a serious mistake or oversight has to be corrected. And there are some areas where a law can be applied back to the date a government said it was going to legislate. But it's a slippery slope, and the courts don't like this. It's going to come up when we look at mass miscarriages of justice, where the simplest way of sorting them out is to say that some conduct was not illegal, even though at the time it was ruled to be illegal. We'll come to this.
Okay, so let's regroup. The rule of law is primarily about governments governing under laws which were made constitutionally and publicly, designed to regulate future conduct, including their own, rather than past conduct.
Yeah, you wonder why it took centuries of conflict to produce this very simple proposition.
Ah, well, this is where we get to the good stuff. The fight for the rule of law was not only a fight against despotic kings of England and their counterparts elsewhere, it was also a fight for equality and rights and a deep sense of justice.
Democracy?
Tricky. Several countries had what we would call the rule of law long before they became democracies, in the sense of every adult having a vote. Possibly behind it all is the requirement of legitimacy. These days, people in the countries we are talking about would not think a law is legitimate unless it was made under a democratically decided constitution and by a democratically elected government. The past may have been different.
Okay, let's get a bit controversial then and bring up the question of where the rule of law does not exist.
It's probably easier to answer this by looking at which countries are democracies. The Economist magazine has an intelligence unit which scores the world's 167 countries in a democracy index. On this basis, we can say that only about half of these countries pass the threshold of being a democracy. There are some that appear to hold elections, but those elections are very flawed or can be overturned by a superior power, such as a religious leader.
I think this brings it home that unless you can regard a country reasonably as a democracy, then they couldn't possibly have the rule of law. They just have the rule of the powerful calling their decisions laws.
Okay, now let's look back to the central idea that governments must govern under law. What happens if a government doesn't? Who does anything about it?
This brings us to the courts and judges. Basically, people must be able to challenge a law or an action before an independent court. A court that is separate from the government and not bound to follow its wishes.
Yeah, an independent judiciary is central to the rule of law in action. Usually that independence is guaranteed in the Constitution, but it needs to be a reality, not just a paragraph. And we're going to come to this in episodes about the courts and judges. The pointy end is that in Australia, the High Court can and does make decisions that the government of the day strongly disagrees with. There are some countries where it is inconceivable for a court to go against the strongly held wishes of the people in power. They do not have the rule of law, whatever they may say.
Maybe we could say at this stage that there has to be some separation of power between lawmaking, governing, and deciding on legality. Parliaments make laws, usually which have been proposed by governments in the form of ministers, and courts decide disputes about them, independently from parliaments and governments.
So the rule of law in modern times leads us to democracy and the separation of powers. That's a lot of baggage for those three words.
There's plenty more baggage yet to come. Suppose the lawmaking process is hijacked by interest groups. Suppose judges are chosen because they're friendly with the type of people in government. Suppose some people could never afford to go to a court. And there's the question of whether judges make law as well as parliaments. How does that meet a rule of law test? Even trickier, suppose a law is passed that a significant section of the population think is unjust because it breaches their fundamental rights.
We're going to look at all these issues, including whether the law in the rule of law has to pass some substantive tests of justice, not just procedural ones.
I think we need a podcast series.
Okay, then.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find more episodes in this gripping series at lawincontext.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over time, we will build up resources on the website with further exciting reading on the topics we've discussed.
We're the two Steves. And that was a Law in Context podcast.
As the two Ronnies used to say,
it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye. What did you think?
Rubbish.
I thought I was good.
Oh, here we go again.